as I understand it, you said you have the votes to invoke this nuclear option, correct?
Well, we're going to confirm Judge Gorsuch on Friday. Exactly how that occurs, I guess, will depend on our Democratic friends.
Do you think there's any chance that the Democrats would change their minds at this point?
It doesn't appear that way. It looks like they're pretty locked in.
And that was Dana Perino talking with the leader of Mitch McConnell. Totally just fell over that. On the show, First 100 Days, and they were talking about the nuclear option and whether McConnell has the votes for it, and he seems pretty confident that he does. So it looks like that's the way it's going to go. Joining us right now is Al Weaver. He's a political reporter for the Washington Examiner covering Congress. Al, good morning. How are you?
I'm good. Thanks for having me.
Sure. Now, it looks like this is the way we're going to have to go. The Democrats are dug in. They're going to stick to their guns, and we're going to see McConnell invoke the nuclear option, correct?
That is correct. Vote should be expected tomorrow before everyone heads out for recess the weekend into the next couple weeks. Mitch McConnell reiterated yesterday to reporters that he does have the votes to invoke the nuclear option. And you're seeing a lot of Republicans who you wouldn't exactly expect to support this. John McCain, he's a long time been protector of the Senate. He's going to be for it. Susan Collins, probably the most moderate member of the Republican caucus, she's going to be for it. So it looks like this is going to go down, and Gorsuch is going to be nominated, no matter how Democrats react to this, whether they stick with the 44 for the filibuster or not.
Now, have you seen these allegations of plagiarism at this absolute nth hour, the last minute, from BuzzFeed and Politico?
Yes, I have.
And what do you think of them? What's your take on them?
I'm not sure how much stock I put into them. I mean, Andrew Kaczynski, he covers a lot of this type of stuff for CNN. He tweeted out yesterday that this doesn't look like it's a whole lot. It's about a couple hundred words out of a 137,000 word book. So I'm not sure. I don't think it's anything along the lines of, what we saw with, for example, Monica Crowley earlier this year. I don't see much of it.
Just a last minute attempt.
Yes, exactly.
All right. So let's talk about the nuclear showdown. It is an extreme measure, but it is also almost unprecedented for a Supreme Court nominee to be filibustered in this way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is. I mean, I think you also go back to the so-called 60-vote standard that our Democrats keep pushing. I mean, this hasn't become a thing until recently. I mean, you look, Justice Alito, he was the last one to have to even face a cloture vote. He passed it with 72 votes. Justice Thomas, he probably had the most contentious nomination hearing of all time. And he got through with he only needed 51 votes. He ended up getting 52. So, I mean, I think the 60-vote standard that Democrats are talking about is a little bit disingenuous. By most accounts, he is a very well-received judge. Even Democrats talk highly about him. Say, I was at a meeting with Steny Hoyer yesterday. He openly spoke about, how he's probably, how he's probably a very, what's the word I'm looking for? He's qualified. He kept saying he's a very qualified judge, and I don't blame my Senate Democratic colleagues for saying that they don't want to support him because he's ideological or doesn't agree with him politically.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, it's an interesting dynamic that's going on with the Senate right now.
All right, so give me the TikTok on how this all unfolds between now and Friday when the final vote is taken.
Well, I believe it's Thursday, actually.
I'm sorry.
Mitch McConnell, he started the
I'm talking about the, you're talking about the cloture vote. I mean, the vote on the changing the rules, but then it goes all the way to Friday when they take the final vote, right?
I believe so. You're correct. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, so Mitch McConnell, he started the clock yesterday, so that goes 30 hours. That'll run out tomorrow at some point, and then the vote will be on Friday. At some point, he's also going to, when Democrats come out and say, okay, we have enough for the filibuster, McConnell's going to order a point of order, and then ultimately change the rules at that moment. So that's going to be the moment when Gorsuch will get 51 and get over the hump to get on with the court.
Mm, okay.
So we can safely say he will be confirmed.
Oh, yeah.
This is just the dance and the show and the dog and pony show to make Chuck Schumer happy beforehand.
Yeah, Republicans have been saying this for the last week or so. I mean, Orrin Hatch has been pretty, he's been pretty vocal about how he will be confirmed. It's mm-hmm. a matter of the means, basically.
Let me ask you about another matter that is bumping around up on Capitol Hill. It has to do with a revival of the plan to reform health care. Something's going on. There's a lot of meetings and taking place on the House side. The vice president apparently was there last night meeting with House Republicans. Another meeting scheduled for today. Is it possible that this health care reform idea could come up from the ashes and find enough votes to get across the goal line?
I think it's possible. I think it's a bit premature to say that it'll be this week or anything along those lines. That had been part of that had been the chatter after their meeting on Monday night. I was down in the Capitol late last night for the meeting. Mark Meadows spoke to us. He seemed optimistic that they're getting somewhere on this. Much more optimistic than he did, say 2 weeks before that, when they're in the midst of that, of the final push for the AHDA. It's going to be a tough road to hoe. There's still a lot of divisions between the HSC, the Tuesday group, and the RSC. They're trying to come together on something. All of them keep saying that we want to get to yes. So it's hard to see that they don't end up getting somewhere. But, we saw this show a couple weeks ago. So we're not totally sure how it's going to play out.
There's
a lot of moving parts.
How important is Rand Paul to this process? A lot of people look at this guy as the linchpin into getting House members to come on board.
Yeah, Rand Paul's been an important player in this throughout. He's not a member of the Freedom Caucus, but he's been a semi-de facto leader of the Freedom Caucus, leading opposition to this. So, he met with President Trump over the weekend. He seems like he has a decent relationship with him. We'll see what happens. As I said, there's still a lot of moving parts in this. That could end up backfiring. Some Freedom Caucus members, look at Justin Amash, Royal Labrador. I'm not sure how much of this pill they want to swallow at this point.
What are they looking to compromise on? Any idea what is palatable to both sides to compromise on?
Well, I think the big issue right now, Martin Meadows spoke a little bit last night, is that the difference in the districts that they live in. For example, Meadows is from Western North Carolina. We have also members from like Charlie Dent, who heads up the Tuesday group. He's up in up in Northeast Pennsylvania, a much more moderate area. And then other states where they expanded Medicaid, and that's still a big discussion for these moderates is the Medicaid issue. They want some sort of state safety net for their constituents who would be affected by this. So I think the Medicaid issue is still a big part of this.
Interesting. Well, Al Weaver, thank you so much for joining us. We appreciate you sharing all your knowledge with us, and thank you for your time.
No problem. Thank you. Have a good day.
That's Al Weaver, political reporter for the Washington Examiner.